All right, it's been a heavy show, heavy day. We're going to lighten it up with Hawaii in a second, but I think the point is the difference between these days and that day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell that story to the audience. I just read about how Dr. Blasey Ford is still getting death threats.
Yeah.
And so we did a story about Tucker Carlson, how the anti-fascists should not have gone to his house and done the things that they did. So everybody's defending Tucker Carlson today. But who's defending Blasey Ford? She's had to move four times since the hearings. She can't go back to her job. It's a security threat. So I don't know how long they're going to haunt her, and I don't know how long they're going to threaten her. But it's just taken as a matter of fact. No, the right wing will threaten to murder you if you have the courage to speak out. And we're all supposed to just get used to that. I mean, this is crazy. It's nuts.
It's amazing how angry Trump supporters and the right wing are, even after victory. Like, they get everything they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're so angry. Just leave her alone. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Okay? You guys won. You guys managed to confirm an attempted rapist to the Supreme Court.
Is it not good enough?
Yeah.
It's not good enough. So
anyway,
and they take great joy in that. And like, if it happens to a right winger, we all go nuts over it because it's unusual, because the left never does that. But the right wing now is full blown fascist.
So we're all desensitized to it. We expect it.
Yeah. Like death threats. Well, of course, if you are on the left and you're public, you're supposed to expect death threats constantly from the right wing. That's fascism. They're trying to terrorize us, right? So it's just frustrating. All right, so you went on vacation to get away from it all.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Oh, it totally worked. Uh-huh. You don't even know. So.
I don't. That's why I asked.
I know. So I knew I needed that vacation. Like, I needed it. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm overworked, so I need to take some time off. No.
That's mentally. How most people are. They're like, oh, I'm overworked.
No, by the way, everyone needs a vacation. Don't get me wrong, right? I'm not trying to minimize people who, but like mentally, I needed a vacation. Mm-hmm. Because I was starting to like, I was not in a good place, like right before the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know I'm going through this downward spiral when I just don't care. Like I'm doing things that I know I shouldn't be doing, and I don't care about the consequences. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I've been there in Vegas.
No, but with me, it's more like. Like, I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like during the Kavanaugh times, like when that one day when I couldn't take it and I like had to go, we went to break and because I was crying. Like,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
keep it real. This job it's fucking hard, man. And it's not hard because it's like too challenging. It's the stuff that we have to read and digest every day, all day. And so I realized before, I went to Hawaii that Christian and I hadn't really gone on vacation in at least 2 years. The last time we had gone on vacation for ourselves was our honeymoon in 2016. Every other trip that we had taken was like obligatory family stuff, which is not a vacation.
Mm-hmm,
it's the exact opposite of a vacation. I'm not at work. I'd rather be at work, to be honest. Let's keep it real.
Wow,
no, but it's hard. It's hard. Like, vacationing with family is not a vacation. Like, that's a different type of work.
By the way, enjoy it while you can before kids. I don't know if you guys are going to have them, but it goes back to being work again.
No, I know.
But it's anyway. Got wonderful upsides, too. I'm going to jump in with a couple of family stories, right?
Yes.
And then I'm going to see if it worked the decompression. So we were in Hawaii 3 years ago in Maui, and then we loved it. And then we went to Oahu the next day. Next day, that would have been awesome. Next year, and then we haven't been able to go back. But it's always my dream to go to Hawaii, and I'd never been, and I was 45 years old, and I'm like, forget it, we're finally gonna go. But Wendy was so mad at me for continuing to work from there and take calls that she nearly threw my iPad in the ocean.
I heard about that.
Yeah, okay. But there was fun parts. There was a ton of fun parts. So the kids at that point were 3 and 5. So I used to do magic tricks for them all the time. And we went there, and we got an Airbnb. So it was a one bedroom, and it's a fold out couch. Okay. Mm-hmm. My kids had never seen a fold out couch, so I did a trick where I was like, okay, all right, we're gonna do this is a big magic trick. I'm gonna try big. Okay. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to make a bed come out of the table. Okay. You always got to do mm-hmm. get one wrong first. Okay, that's the trick. Makes it more believable. I'm like, abracadabra bed, right? And when I look in the drawers and stuff, there's no bed. And they're like, ah, ha, 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 right? And I'm like, okay, hold on. Give me one more chance. And I'm like, all right, I'll make one come out of the couch, right? And I go, abracadabra, da, da, da. And then I take off the things, and I'm like, oh! And I pull it out, and they're like, oh, my God. They're like, Mommy, Daddy's a magician.
That is a cute story. Hawaii is amazing. It's really beautiful.
So I learned this magic trick from, I think, watching David Blaine, like an old David Blaine on Netflix. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I noticed what he did on one of the card tricks. Mm-hmm. And so I learned it and I started doing it. And I do a terrible job of it, but good enough to, like, if you're not paying a lot of attention to get it by you, right? Mm-hmm. And I did it with my mom after the thing, with the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it doesn't work like half the time. So, but anyway, but it does work half the time. And so I did it with my mom and I'm like, I'm going to tell you what card you saw in the deck after I flipped the whole deck, right? Uh-huh. And I'm like, whatever, it was four of spades. She's like, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? He knows.
He knows.
Okay, and I did it again, and I got lucky. I went 2 for 2, and I got it again, right? I got lucky as in that the trick worked, and I didn't botch it. And she's like, no, that's it. You have to tell me. You have to tell me how you did that. And I didn't.
Good.
How good?
Yeah.
You know what? Thanksgiving, they're coming over. I'm going to do it again. So now, to your point about how vacationing with family sometimes is hard. Mm-hmm. We went to Turkey 4 years ago. Yeah, 4 years ago. And we rented a van and because we went ruin to ruin. And in Turkey, a ruin is a stone throws away. Literally, stone from the ruin, throw it to another one. And so we went from, and in a really short period of time, we saw all these amazing stories. And if you've been a long time member, you might remember me telling some of those stories. Mm-hmm. That there was Phacelis, they're all ancient Roman and Greek cities, mainly Roman and Byzantine. There was Phacelis and Xanthos. In Phacelis, they always surrendered. In Xanthos, they always fought to the death. Mm-hmm. So there's like 30,000 people in Xanthos. At the end of one of the wars, there was 10 people left, okay?
Wow.
So the Xanthoses of the world, they were the Ojetas, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. Phacelis was Pelosi and Schumer, okay? But, I mean, the story doesn't really end well. So the Xanthos story didn't end well, but the Phacelis story didn't end well either. So they love to surrender. So once they accidentally surrendered to a pirate ship.
Oh. Look,
a pirate ship came into their little bay next to Mount Olympus. Uh-huh. And they're like, we surrendered. They're like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And they took the town. They thought there were a lot more ships coming. It wasn't. It was just one ship.
Oh, disaster. Disaster.
Because that's what they do.
That is such a Pelosi Schumer move.
Totally. Totally. So, I'm afraid they might do this too. Phacelis had heard about Alexander the Great. Now, surrendering to him made sense, mm-hmm, but they were like, no, we're going to do this one right. This one's a big deal.
Oh, boy. Okay.
They built a statue of him, sight unseen, before he came to be like, ta-da, we surrender, and here's your statue.
We got to do like a genealogy test to see if like there's any.
If Schumer and Pelosi are from Phacelis?
Yes. It's amazing.
Anyway, so we're on that trip, we're in the van, and my parents are there, and Murat was there, one of my nephew's kids, my wife, etc. And my wife's dad was there, and he does not speak Turkish, obviously, he's Chinese. He also doesn't speak English. So, and the whole time we're in the van, it's like a Mediterranean, a van full of Mediterranean people, right? So we're talking loudly, and my dad's saying, get the actions right away, and all this stuff, and there's like a constant maelstrom in there. So, like 3 days in, and Wendy's dad barely speaks. Like, he's just not that, he's the total opposite of us, okay? 3 days later, he finally turns around to Wendy and goes, are they fighting? Have they been fighting this whole time?
I love how he didn't really care until the third day. He's like, right. Maybe I should ask. But what's going on?
Have they been fighting for 3 straight days? And Wendy's like, no, they're not fighting. They're just Turkish.
It's work. I mean, yeah.
My dad we'd ask for directions, like literally. 90 seconds later, he'd be like, ask again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
Dad,
yeah.
I just asked him. He said, turn left and turn right twice. He's like, Dad, you got to ask somebody. And Dad, I love asking for directions. You're barking up the wrong tree, but I just asked.
Yeah. That sounds like something my dad would do too. And then like the nonstop bathroom breaks. Like, all right, like one of them has to go. So we go, we stop everything, drop everything, go to the bathroom, and then the other parent decided, I do not need to use a bathroom, I'm not gonna use it. And then like 10 minutes later, I need to use a bathroom. It's like.
That happens with my kids.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, long story short, although long
too
story
late.
Was too long.
story short is almost always a prelude to a story that already went way too long.
Yeah, it's super long. I felt like every vacation, there was some work involved, like not family work, just work involved. But this time I was like, no reading the news. I'm only going to enjoy my time with my husband. I'm gonna do what I want. We're gonna rest. We're gonna eat. And it was so good. And I forgot what real joy felt like. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it's not. It's not. And things would go wrong on the trip, as always. Like, stuff is gonna go wrong. And my reaction was so different to when things go wrong in real life, right? Mm-hmm. In real life, I'll stress it. Like, I won't let it ruin my day. I won't compound it, right? But in Hawaii, I was just different. And it feels good to know that I'm still here, you know? Because one of the things that's been bugging me since like 2015, 2016, is that I feel like I haven't been myself and I wanna get back to who I am. I wanna be myself again. And it's just this job. And it's not TYT, it's what politics has turned into, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna let it stop me from doing what I deserve to do, what I wanna do, and it's this, I wanna do this. But I need to decompress, I need that break, and I'm glad that I had that week. I felt so lucky to enjoy that 1 week.
If you turn off the news for 7 days, you probably missed 13 Trump scandals.
No, but I did miss a lot. I missed the synagogue shooting. I missed when they ID'd the guy sending the pipe bombs. I missed the story about-
I thought you said pot bombs. I was like, pot bombs? I missed that too, where's that at?
I missed the story of Trump wanting to do away with birthright citizenship. All sorts of craziness. All sorts of craziness.
Like, there's some chance that you would have come back and they'd be like, you're not a citizen anymore.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of nonsense happened. And they're big stories, but that's what happens in the Trump administration.
Yeah, no question. No, you made me jealous of that trip. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So you guys were in Oahu, right?
Yes, yeah.
How gorgeous was it?
Oh my God, so beautiful, and the people are awesome. It was amazing. I loved every moment of it. We did a bunch of hikes. You know, we ate food, a lot of it. We did a food tour on bicycles, and we thought it was gonna be a tour group, but it was like a private tour, which I did not expect. And we had like fish tacos. Anyway, but the one story that I did want to share that does have something to do with politics. We had gone on two hikes this one day, and then we decided to go get something to eat in like a little small surfing town that had all these cute boutiques and things. So we walk into one of the boutiques and we get greeted by a young woman who was working there. And she was just very outgoing, total extrovert, asked us a bunch of questions about us, where we live, all that. And then she started sharing a little bit about herself. And she told me about how She's from Oklahoma. She's a dreamer, okay? She's only 20 years old. And the only reason why she's in Oahu now is because her husband's in the military. She got married to him when they were both 18. She's now expecting his baby.
You already said she was from Oklahoma.
I know, no, but it gets this story, like I can't stop thinking about it. Then she told me, yeah, you know, it's kind of hard for me here, you know, being pregnant at all because I have to go to these like military hospitals and the wait times are really long and it sounded horrible. And then she's like, yeah, and my husband can't wait to be deployed. He comes from this big military family and they love being deployed. But you know, obviously I don't want that. And then she told me that he's a huge Trump supporter and especially loves the anti-immigrant rhetoric, which hurts her feelings because she's a dreamer.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It made me so angry. And because
that's amazing. Yeah. How do they do that? How do they do that with their heads? Where they just turn off logic. Your wife is a dreamer. They're gonna call your kids anchor babies. Trump would take away birthright citizenship from your kids because your wife is undocumented. And he supports Trump and anti-immigrant talk.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah.
And then, how do you talk to people like that? How do you have a logical conversation? We're not speaking the same language.
So then after that interaction, we get in the car. I smoke a little weed. I'm not driving. Let me be clear about that.
Okay.
So I'm in the passenger side.
My name is Richard Ojeda. Okay.
And then I just start thinking about her. And this song called Paper Planes by MIA comes on. And there's like a bunch of lyrics in that song that, like that song, the chorus talks about how all I want to do, and then they play some sound effects of like money and gunshots. And take your money, like, and it made me think of how we go to war just to make people rich. And like, the song is about how she sells like counterfeit visas to help people get into the country. Like, I don't know, it was just the weirdest song to play, A, while I'm high, and B, after I've had this interaction. And I started feeling angry. I was just like, they're destroying the country. They're destroying America, the Republicans, not the immigrants. And
I like how you clarified it.
Just making sure you guys know. And like, we're on this beautiful island that happens to be part of America. And like there's beautiful people here in this country. And what we used to stand for is beautiful. And I want to get back to that place. Like I just had all these, like I was feeling things. I don't know.
You were feeling things. Yeah. That's because you had a pot bomb.
I did. But it just, I was really acknowledging the beauty of the country and the beauty that we can be while simultaneously feeling so sad for this woman. She's only 20. She's about to have a baby with this monster.
Well, I don't know about monster.
He's a monster.
But he's wrong.
He thinks she's trash at the end of the day, right? That's what he thinks. She's an immigrant. She's here illegally.
So, and they're married.
They're married, yeah.
Well, then now she'll be a citizen. And so,
I don't know.
And I guess he thinks that'll fix it. I don't know. So she wasn't a Young Turks fan. She's just a random person you talk to.
She has no idea who I am. Knows nothing about the Young Turks. And I usually do not talk about politics with. She was the one who brought all this stuff up.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help myself, and I was like, well, I would just like you to know that I am not a Trump fan. I think he's trash, and I think that people like you make this country great. You know. So I told her that, and she got uncomfortable. So I was like, all right, I'll wrap it up. And then we left.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
I love Hawaii. When I was there, we go to the grocery store, and the guy in the deli section or something is like, hey, Cenk, what are you doing here? Mahalo. It's like, mahalo right back at you, brother.
I have a hard time making that gesture, that hand.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I kept, because they keep making you want to do that when they take pictures of you. Like, say you're on like a little tour group thing. Uh-huh. And I kept doing this.
Okay, like, you're not in Texas.
Yeah, I know. I kept messing it up. But yeah,
hook 'em horns. Craig, was it you who told me this story about Godfather, reminded me of the story about Godfather last night? Maybe it was Bart. It reminded me about, because you say make money from the wars, et cetera. There's a scene in Godfather 3, I think, where one of the members of the family tells Al Pacino, the lead character, you know, why don't you like do something decent, like be a politician or something like that? And he's like, and I'm butchering the story, but you get it. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's, they don't kill people for a living. He's like, you sure about that?
Yeah.
Right? He's like, no, they do it at a much bigger level. Right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. When I was in Jamaica, they have this song that was popular there, something like, I forget now, me get my money. Okay. Uh-huh. And apparently they're running some sort of Nigerian email scam over in Jamaica and robbing people in America.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting a lot of criticism for it. And the song's about like, yeah. Look at all the times they robbed us. Okay? Mm-hmm. Me get my money. Okay. And that's it. I don't give a damn. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got robbed enough. And so that was a controversy when I was there. All right, last thing is you already have too much work, plus I forgot. Uh-huh. So it would have been cool if you guys had accidentally run into each other, because Allison Hartz is in Oahu.
I know. Okay. I actually, it's funny because I thought about reaching out to her, but then I was like, what am I doing? No. Yeah. I like no politics. But it's amazing. Like, people in Hawaii are way more politically active than people in our neighborhoods, I guess, because I saw political signs on everyone's front yard.
Was it all for Tulsi Gabbard?
There were a lot of Tulsi Gabbards, a lot of, I forget the name of the guy for governor. Anyway, but yeah, people.
Chats? No, that's sad.
No.
That's always uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay. That's hilarious.
We gotta take a stop. I gotta go. Anyway. So, by the way, Tulsi Gabbard's father is in the Hawaiian legislature, also co-sponsor of Wolfpack. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Of the Wolfpack legislation. So we got badasses all across the country. Mahalo. But it would have been cool if one day you're like walking somebody, you're like, and Allison Hartson and Atticus Perrin randomly run into each other in Oahu of all places.
Yeah.
That would have been mahalo. All right, guys, much love. We'll see you soon.